Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where the talk is all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's Rock underscore and underscore Rally. Rock and Rally Tennis Episode 16 is brought to you by CareerWonder.com, the ultimate career resource site that features video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries, sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at CareerWonder.com. In this episode, I'd like to talk about what you can do when you are overmatched by an opponent. Now, just to be clear, I'm referring to opponents who are comparable to your skill level. Because let's face it, no amount of strategy, self-belief, or mental toughness is going to enable a club player, for example, to beat Roger Federer or Rafa Nadal. Now, something that separates a better player from a good player is the consistency of technique and execution of strokes and footwork, not to mention a superior overall command of the components of the game. The better player typically has a larger arsenal and is more effective at deploying the array of weapons at his or her disposal. You know, if you hope to affect a successful outcome in a situation where you are playing a player who is better, you have to find a way to effectively manage those variables that are within your control, or at the very least, those variables you can best control. As with just about everything in tennis, it begins with your mindset and approach. One of the ways to go about doing this is to simplify your approach. What do I mean by that? Well, it means focusing on those aspects of your game that you know you can execute well and not getting too fancy or cute or overthinking your strategy. You know, when I was a freshman in high school, I started a chess club. I really enjoyed the strategic, tactical, and analytical aspects of chess. I had actually learned how to play chess only a few months before then and had become a decent chess player in that relatively short period of time. But reality check, I was not as skilled in chess as some of the kids in my school who had been playing chess since they were toddlers. I realized my chances of winning against the advanced chess players were fairly slim. And frankly, playing them to a draw would have been considered a victory for me. Now, for those of you not familiar with chess, in a nutshell, chess is a two-player strategy game played on a checkered 8x8 grid game board. Each player starts out with 16 pieces, one king, one queen, two rooks, bishops, and knights, and eight pawns. So there are six different types of pieces, each of which has different moves. The objective of chess is to checkmate the opponent's king by trapping it where it cannot escape capture. And you do this by using your pieces to attack and capture your opponent's pieces while fortifying your own pieces and position. Advanced chess players are very adept at maximizing the combination of pieces they have at their disposal for offense and defense. They're able to anticipate their opponent's moves and thus plan multiple steps ahead. For an intermediate chess player like myself at that time, my ability to quickly and effectively process the potential of all the various combinations of moves was limited relative to the abilities of my advanced level opponents. I mean, folks, I was overmatched, and I knew it. If I was to have any chance of putting up a worthy battle, I had to find a way to simplify things for myself, and in the process, you know, maybe shave a little bit of my opponent's advantage. So the tactic I employed was to try to reduce as quickly as possible the number of pieces and types of pieces on the chessboard. My thought was to reduce the number of variables to something I could effectively manage. If I could do that, I could then focus on utilizing just those pieces that were left, while effectively reducing my opponent's pool of options, at least theoretically, and consequently stand a better chance than if I were to try to play with both of us having a full complement of pieces at our disposal. Frankly, that would have been too much for me to process, given my skill level at that time. Not to mention that that would have played right into the strength of my advanced level opponents. So from the get-go, at every opportunity, I would try and capture my opponent's pieces at the sacrifice of, you know, a comparable one of my pieces. In a flash, I reduced the chessboard to literally just a few pieces for me and a few pieces for my opponent. Now, this tactic proved to be rather effective. I managed to play my superior opponents to a draw about 50% of the time. And I even managed to beat them on a couple of occasions. And I was able to do this by simplifying my approach. Now, you can employ a similar tactic in tennis when you're playing an opponent who is a better player than you. Simplify your approach by focusing on those key strengths of your game. Don't be too concerned about what your opponent does well. Look, the fact is, when you're overmatched, you don't have many other options. Just worry about executing the one, two, or three things that you do well and see what happens. You know, an example that comes to mind is when I think about former ATP professional Paul Annacone, who was one of the players I grew up watching. Annacone played on tour from the mid-1980s until the late 1990s. Now, many people are probably more familiar with Annacone as a tennis commentator, and plus he was the former coach of Pete Sampras and Roger Federer. Career-wise, Annacone reached the peak ranking of number 12 in the world in March 1986. He won three singles titles and enjoyed greater success in doubles, winning 14 doubles titles, including the Australian Open in 1985. Now, Annacone was a player who did not have the greatest natural and physical talent relative to some of the players of his generation. But he had a decent serve, a solid net game, and very strong resolve. You know, I enjoyed watching Annacone play because, you know, he was a great example of a player who truly understood his strengths and weaknesses and had a simple and definitive game plan going into every match. Annacone played in the era of John McEnroe, Lendl, Edberg, Villander, Becker, as well as several young and eventual Hall of Famers like Pete Sampras, Andre Agassi, Jim Courier, to name a few. To Annacone, it did not matter who was on the other side of the net. He was going to play his game, which was to get to net as quickly and as often as possible, either via serve and volley or chip and charge. My friends and I used to joke that Annacone never saw a net he didn't approach. But that was his game. Getting to net and pressuring his opponents in that manner was the tactic which he believed gave him his best chance to win against the top players. I mean, who needs to play from the baseline, right? I mean, utilizing a rush and crush tactic, Annacone simplified his approach. And as a result, he was able to notch some victories against several top players of his generation, like John McEnroe, Stefan Edberg, and Mats Wilander. You know, recently I was watching a match between a friend of mine, let's call him Pete, and a player from another local club. Now, Pete is a solid 4.0 level player. And for someone in his late 50s, he has good mobility and he's a solid ball striker. He's what I would describe as a counterpuncher, but with one caveat. Pete does not like to engage in extended rallies. He likes to have a target to hit, whether that's hitting passing shots or going for the lines early in a rally. The other player was in his mid-40s, and easily a 4.5, possibly 5.0 level player who displayed a solid all-court game. You know, it was evident from the start that the odds were stacked against Pete. His opponent had a much more polished game. So, you know, not surprisingly, it was a rather lopsided first set. I think Pete may have won maybe 9 or 10 points in that set. I mean, he just simply couldn't match his opponent's overall breadth and depth as far as skill level. Now, while watching this decimation go on in the first set, I wondered why Pete was aggressively trying to take it to his opponent and not playing to his own strengths. But in the second set, Pete started to play his game. He started to draw his opponent to net earlier in the rally, and more frequently with short angled chips and occasional drop shots. And when he had an opening, Pete aimed for the lines. Now, Pete was now focused on just those aspects of the game he knew he could execute well. He simplified his approach. He won the second set in a tiebreaker and actually held 2 match points in the third set before succumbing to his opponent. I mean, he had a couple of chances to actually pull off the upset of a player who was significantly better. And let's face it, no one gave Pete much of a chance, especially after that first set. You know, the bottom line is, when you're up against a better player, simplify your approach, reduce the clutter, reduce the number of variables, and focus on those aspects of your game that you can execute with confidence and reliability. The results may surprise you. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.